You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, tomorrow is Veterans Day, a national holiday. How will you honor our soldiers? Today, we'll get the perspective of an Army wife. How different do you think her Veterans Day is from yours? Plus, November is Adopt a Senior Dog Month, and it's also the kickoff of the big professional surfing championships in Hawaii. Our travel guy paddles you out. Let's meet the friends. He's the first to volunteer to get the lifeboats ready for the women and children. Chris Martin is here.
Phil, today is the anniversary of the tragic event that inspired one of the greatest songs in music history.
If you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a five-star review. You're helping the program by doing that because the folks at iTunes read your comments, they notice your five-star reviews, and they send you a box of brownies.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to go leave a review right now.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know they sent us brownies.
Sure.
Okay.
Got a nice kitchen up there at the Apple campus.
Do they?
Executive chefs and the whole thing with those big, tall, white hats. What do you call those hats?
You know, I don't know.
They've got a name.
Do they?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Give it a second. I'll have the answer.
Okay. There you go. Wait for your wife to text you.
Exactly.
All
right. Let's get things started. Chris Martin, thank you, sir, for being here once again. 40th anniversary of what?
Well, exactly 40 years ago today, the winds of November came early and took the legendary Great Lakes freighter ship, the Edmund Fitzgerald, to the bottom of Lake Superior. And, of course, that event inspired a songwriter by the name of Gordon Lightfoot to compose this haunting classic.
In a musty old hall in Detroit, they prayed in the Maritime Sailor's Cathedral. The church bell chimed till it rang 29 times for each man on the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Oh, there's the hook right there.
Bing, ding, ding,
the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Ding, ding, ding. I just like Mike back there laughing like a schoolboy.
Yeah. It's a haunting song for sure.
Yes.
I'll be haunted all day by that melody. I won't be able to get it out of my head. So people love that song. I've never understood it, but it's a tragedy that how many people died on the Edmund Fitzgerald?
29 souls, Phil.
Oh.
29 souls.
How
it was a 730-foot carrier that sank at Lake Superior during a brutal storm. There were 25-foot waves, 90-mile-per-hour winds. It was whiteout conditions. The boat most likely, because nobody survived to tell the story, took on too much water too quickly and then sank. Yep. Although there are some people who believe it could have even been aliens. That's what happens
when you
don't have anybody to corroborate what happened.
Yeah, sure. But 25-foot waves in probably 20 or 30 below
right
out there on Lake Superior, it's pretty harsh. And in a boat that was built in when? The 1940s?
A long time ago, yeah. I don't have the answer to that one. But there was another boat behind it as it was traversing the lake, and the boat behind it never received the distress signal. They were far enough apart to where it couldn't see the Edmund Fitzgerald.
That was the Gladys Fitzgerald.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. But it's a sister?
Behind, no.
Sister of Edmund?
Wife. Behind every great boat, there's a... Never mind.
Uh-huh. A nice tug boat.
Why are we making fun of people who died, Chris? Come
well,
on.
Well, listen, it's a tragic story, but it was a long time ago, and they were honored.
Yeah? All right, so it's not too soon.
No, definitely not too soon.
Okay.
It's been a while now, 40 years ago.
All right. And so they brought the boat up eventually and sold the pieces to a library or a museum or something like that.
I don't even know. I don't even know if they brought the boat up. You know, when you read about the Edmund Fitzgerald, it's sort of a cryptic story that makes it seem like there's not a lot of evidence to support exactly what happened.
Yeah.
They're not exactly sure.
And it's not like it happened in the Dark Ages. It was, in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I was 16 years old when it sunk.
The other thing weird about it is it did happen on a lake, which my experiences with lakes, although I've never been to the Great Lakes, is that it's hard to imagine a lake getting nasty enough to tip a boat. But
yeah.
The Great Lakes are massive, so
sure.
I guess you have to be careful.
Yeah, be careful if you have the largest boat ever to sail on Lake Superior. All right, let's move on. There's got to be something more interesting.
All right. You tell me what.
Why don't we just play that song again?
Mike, fire it up.
Yeah.
In a musty old hall in Detroit. toilet they breathe in.
No, no, that's enough of that. Please.
I think the argument would be that the song's so easy to remember. That's why the hook just gets caught in your head.
Yeah. Now, they're out there on Lake Superior. They don't have to worry about being attacked by sea monsters or anything because those are out in the sea. And some of them are collected and put on display and made to do tricks.
Yeah. Yeah, and for good reason. I think we're supposed to be able to witness things like that. And SeaWorld's one of the groups that brings us the ability to look at these animals, these sea animals. They're taking another step in trying to fix the recent damage done to their image. The aquatic theme park announced its plans to phase out the Shamu Orca show.
What?
In San Diego by the year 2017.
Which didn't they just apply to enhance and enlarge the orca complex there at SeaWorld?
Yeah, spending hundreds of millions of dollars to build better bathrooms, for one, but also, more importantly, build bigger tanks, more expansive tanks.
Yeah, they're trying to get approval from California regulators on that.
That's right.
The Coastal Commission, I believe it is. And so the implication was that they wanted more space for bigger and better shows.
Yeah, well, it sounds like maybe the big plan for them is to have more space to give the whales more room to just roam freely in these tanks, but they're not actually going to be putting it on the shows anymore. So when the whales jump out of the water and touch the ball or do flips or have people ride on their backs, no more of that stuff. They're just going to swim around in tanks and give people an opportunity to walk up and see them.
Well, then, and then people will start saying, I want to see the people dying. And whales jumping out of the water and splashing little kids, and they slip and fall and skin their knee and cry. I want to see all those things. I paid good money for that.
But, well, it's funny you say that because they're saying that attendance at the park has been down since the 2013 release of the documentary Blackfish, which shows all those horrible events.
I know. People are conflicted about the whole thing, and rightly so, because the whales don't seem to be happy. They're not in their regular spot. They're supposed to be out roaming around, having a good time with the expanse of the ocean at their disposal. But they don't. And so they've been exploited, clearly. However, people pay good money to see that sort of thing. And so there's the confliction. And if that goes away, it's one of those things. If you love something, throw it away.
Right? Well, not only that,
and if it comes back, then good. It's like a dog, right? You drop the dog off in the middle of the forest when it gets old. And then 2 years later, it comes scratching at your door.
Right.
Yeah. That's completely the wrong example.
That's how my grandpa used to do it. That was a sad day.
By the way,
old Gunner.
November is Adopt a Senior Dog Month.
Right.
And later this hour, we will talk with Dr. Judy Morgan about the reasons why you should adopt a senior dog. So my cruel example there was just a means of promoting what's coming up later in the show. Oh. Am I absolved?
No, because I'm pretty sure that was just spin doctoring at its finest. I'm almost positive. But I do know the number one reason to adopt a senior dog.
Yeah. You do?
Yes. Because, you want me to save it?
Yeah, save it.
All right, I'll tell you the number one reason.
All right.
Before she comes on.
Up next, you remember Lorena Bobbitt? Oh, do we? Guys remember Lorena Bobbitt probably more than ladies do. Or maybe she's a hero to some ladies. Hard to say. But who's a guy who would date, propose marriage to, and then actually go through with it and become her husband? We have a look into the brain of this fellow and his thought processes and how he keeps Lorena away from the box full of scissors. Next, here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, Visit PortsacallDining.com or call 310-833-3553. Hey, Chris, I don't know if you knew this. One player, only one, throughout the course of Major League Baseball history has ever died from an injury that he got during a game.
What did you mean, died on the field?
Died on the field.
Wow.
Due to an injury sustained during the play.
Wild.
Major League Baseball. Ray Chapman of the Cleveland Indians was hit in the head with a pitch, a beanball, in 1920. And he died 12 hours later.
I'm assuming in 1920 they didn't have the same helmets that they used today?
No, they didn't have helmets.
They just wore baseball caps.
Yeah, they just wore caps. Mm. To have to be a sissy to wear a helmet back in 1920.
Right.
Right?
In any sport.
In fact, the guys used to file down their cleats and make them sharper. They had metal cleats, not those rubber kinds that we have today. They had metal cleats, and they used to shave them down to make them sharp.
Yeah.
And then they used to when they'd steal second or come around, home plate, look out. If you're the
cleats
catcher
up.
Or you're the shortstop, cleats up. And that means, flesh wound.
Well, that's a,
but you're
that's
real,
a rough way to go.
A real man out there chewing tobacco and playing baseball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No helmet. Eesh.
No, of course not. Helmets came in much later. 1970, no, maybe even the 1980s.
Yeah.
You remember Lorena Bobbitt?
Sure do.
She was the lady that cut off her husband's junk 22 years ago. Apparently, it has it going on because she has a new husband. She was on the Steve Harvey Show yesterday, and her former husband, John Bobbitt, you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He became kind of a star for a little while.
Yeah, they both did. Their names still synonymous.
I think he got
weirdness.
Reattached, or most of it reattached, or maybe, I don't know what his deal was, but he made a couple of pornos and because people were so curious to see what that might look like.
Right.
Yeah. And then he became obscure. And so he should thank us for mentioning his name today. But anyway, Lorena said that he's tried to reach out to her over the years, but she always just deleted his number. She's also remarried now. She has a 10-year-old daughter. And she says her husband has never brought up her past about the old snipping incident with John.
Do you think that means it's an unhealthy relationship? Because isn't that something that you talk about as a couple?
Let's get that out on the table now and hash it out and say, let's understand each other. And
how did it develop?
See, if you ever suspect something, can we talk about it first
exactly.
In the event that you're misinformed?
Mm-hmm.
Before ruining my life. Because of something you think might be going on. Let's get this out on the table, because I'm not that kind of a guy. John was a moron. I'm only part moron. She talked about her new domestic violence organization and seemed genuinely interested in helping women handle abuse the right way. But the audience cheered and gave her a standing ovation, apparently, during the Steve Harvey Show. She and Steve spent a lot of time joking about the dismemberment, which seemed kind of weird, although 22 years, maybe enough time has passed.
It's not too soon.
Because no matter how evil John was, she fully admits she was insane at the time to cut off his manhood.
Yeah, you'd like to think that someone has gone through some pretty powerful transformation since then, especially if she's getting back in a relationship, has a kid, all
right.
Of that.
Yeah. You know what else is insane is that with all the technology around and with all the hormones of teens and preteens and pubescence and adolescence and all that sort of thing, there are naked pictures and videos flying all over the internet that moms and dads can't stop and can't control and hope they never see.
Mm-hmm.
Because, hey, look, it's Johnny up the street with my daughter. What? Right?
Yes.
That's going on a lot, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And parents are upset. They're really upset, especially with, probably seen the recent news of the sexting scandal involving hundreds of students at a Colorado high school.
Yep.
Parents are wondering how they could not know that this was going on. Well, we now know that teens are keeping these personal photos from parents and teachers using photo vault apps, which are designed to easily hide illicit photos on their phones.
So what do? You give
technology.
You give a friend a key to your vault, and they could look inside and say a peekaboo, right?
It's something like that. It's actually pretty interesting technology. These apps you can find in Google Play, iTunes, Play Stores, and they're actually designed to look like other apps. Like it would look like a calculator app, or maybe a clock app. Mm-hmm. But when you get to the calculator, you type in a certain code, and all of a sudden the calculator app turns into a photo sharing app.
Yeah, yeah. You know, things just, I don't know, life has changed a great deal over the years. Every decade, every new generation of kids comes along, and they're bolder and bolder about sexuality. And, they, you know, there's sex going on in the bathrooms all the time at the high schools and that sort of thing. And I'm just thinking, even if you went back to your days in high school or my days in high school, if let's say the principal came out on the loudspeaker and rang the bells, ding, 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 whatever they used to do to say there's a special announcement, and the principal said, "Hi, this is Principal Poop, and I'd just like to announce that during recess today, nutrition or lunch or whatever you call it when you're not in your classrooms, it's okay, go ahead and drop your clothes and everybody have sex." I think a large percentage of the high school student body would embrace that concept and just go for it because of all the hormones that are raging at that stage in life. There's a percentage who would not because they would...
I think a higher percentage...
You think so?
...would not.
No.
Yes, the majority would not engage in that
type
of behavior.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I think... And to be honest with you, Phil, I think that it's probably pretty similar percentages of kids engaging in that type of behavior, sexual behavior, we'll say at that age now, as it was 50 years ago. We just sort of focus on
it. So the whole idea of the principal giving permission and the higher authority, no? Wouldn't do it.
It's illegal. You're telling a bunch of minors to drop trow and get it on in the middle of campus.
It's a hypothetical question.
It's a hypothetically illegal question. and also...
Is it illegal that I brought it up?
It's definitely morally questionable.
We'll that I brought
that
it
way.
Up? Really?
Yeah, well, it's a thought process.
No, I mean, you were an adolescent boy at one time.
Sure, and I engaged in some, you know, questionable behavior. But
yes.
Not in the middle of the schoolyard.
But... Right, but I bet you sat there on the lunch table and fantasized about the rest of the student body walking around naked at one point or another.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Young boys, you have those thoughts going through your head.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that mangled coffee cake in your hands that, you know, that you squeezed a little too hard while you were fantasizing that, the, you know, that was just collateral damage.
Right. Yeah.
Nobody was injured.
Chris, what are you doing over there?
Nothing nothing morally wrong with that.
Strangling your sandwich.
All right, now that we're clear.
By the way, while some people think it's harmless to share these naked photos of teens sharing these photos together, there are laws in place virtually everywhere that constitute it illegal to have nude photos of minors, even if the person with the pictures is underage. So think about that, kids.
Yes, and people who own those photo vault companies. Perhaps they're complicit. Think about that.
Mm-mm.
Principal Poop.
See?
All right. Here's a name that we haven't seen in the news in a while. Pamela Anderson.
I thought you were going to say Lorena Bobbitt.
No, that was just a few moments ago.
Right. Yes, Pamela Anderson. She just dropped some pretty important and pretty personal news about herself.
Yeah.
She's 48 years old, by the way. The model and Baywatch babe announced that she is cured of the bloodborne liver disease hepatitis C.
Man, that took about 15 years, didn't it?
16, actually.
Okay.
Didn't know you were keeping track.
I was.
She celebrated the announcement by sharing a photo of herself in the driver's seat of a yacht, completely naked.
Oh.
Hands covering her lady parts, of course. Phil.
Last time we saw her in a boat completely naked, it was, she wasn't alone.
Who was she with?
With Tommy Lee, the drummer from Motley Crue.
Yeah, I did not see that
her
video.
They were married, weren't they? Husband.
Oh, yeah, they were married for a long time.
Yeah.
That's who she blames on receiving hepatitis C, by the way. She said she shared a...
Not Kid Rock?
...tattoo needle with Tommy Lee. Kid Rock was more recent.
Yeah, but I thought, yeah.
This, by the way, her cure happened within like a month. She revealed recently she was trying a new FDA-approved drug that could cure her.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, it worked. It worked very quickly.
And then she got naked.
And she got naked and celebrated. She looks good, by the way. You want to see? She's covering herself up.
Sounds a little crazy.
It's a tasteful nude.
Sounds a little crazy. A little nuts, doesn't it?
That what?
Hey, something good happened. Let's get naked publicly and take pictures.
Well, you're Pam Anderson.
She's embraced what she's known for. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. And she's done that for PETA and other things as well.
Right. Playboy.
Paychecks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what it is. Yesterday, my daughter's driving me and my wife home from some other place we had to go, some other obligation. We needed a ride home, and she came and picked us up. And we're driving home, nice suburban neighborhood, you know, with the shopping center and the families and the main drag. And we're pulling up to a red light. We're about the fifth or sixth car in line. And my wife says, is that a naked lady? Hmm. What? Up in that window. What? And my daughter looks up. She said, yep, that's a naked lady. And it's middle of the day.
Wow.
About 1 o'clock. Looked up at second story of the house and overlooking the main drag and a big picture window. Looked like the main bedroom, the master bedroom maybe. And no window coverings, no curtains, nothing like that. And a lady looked to be, oh, I don't know, maybe 60 years old. Just standing there in the window looking out on the street completely naked with her arms crossed in front of her bazooms. And
so what could you see? Waist up or
yeah.
below the waist? Nothing below the waist?
Just to right at the dividing line, let's call it.
Yeah.
And I imagine we weren't the only ones who saw her.
Hmm. We sounds like her intention was to have plenty
of people. We didn't do or
here.
Say anything about it. Could have been a viral video if I had the reflexes to get that going, but I did not. And plus, my wife and daughter were in the car, and imagine Daddy videotaping or videoing a, it's not tape anymore, a naked lady.
How'd she look?
Sounds creepy. She was in shape for a 60-year-old.
Was she?
Yeah.
All right.
Didn't let herself go too badly.
Yeah, showing it off.
But I imagine the guys in the white coats let her go after an examination.
Right.
Hey, again, tomorrow is Veterans Day. Shall we be serious for a moment? And serious for the entire next segment, because we will get a different perspective on Veterans Day, no matter how you celebrate the sacrifice of America's soldiers. It's never the same as the way military spouses do. And an Army wife joins us next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. The United States has been around for 239 years and involved in at least one war for 222 of them. And no president has ever gone his entire term without the country being involved in a war. Thus, you have countless numbers of soldiers over the years. Veterans, those who've paid the ultimate sacrifice, but definitely a ton of men and women of all ages who've made a commitment to this great country to protect and to serve. And we have a great deal of debt to all of them, living and dead. So Veterans Day tomorrow is to honor those who serve our soldiers here and abroad. And joining us live is the managing editor of SpouseBuzz.com, an Army wife herself, a mother, and a journalist for Military.com, Amy Buschatz. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How are you today?
Excellent. Even better now that you're here, Amy.
And that's nice.
On Veterans Day, we honor and celebrate our soldiers and thanking them for the sacrifices they make for our country. And that's a good thing, right?
Oh, it's absolutely a great thing.
As an Army wife, how different a day is Veterans Day for you?
Well, Veterans Day is kind of like every other day in our house because every day we celebrate our soldier. So, but, you know, we live in a military town, so there's lots of parades and Veterans Day celebrations in the local community. Tomorrow, for example, I'm going to go participate in a Veterans Day event with Team Red, White, and Blue, which is a military civilian military organization that seeks to serve veterans by connecting them with their communities. So that's just, you know, one of the kinds of things that happens
in
our local area. Yeah.
Wonderful. And so your husband, what sort of enlistment is he involved in?
Well, my husband is an infantry officer, so he's been in the military just over 10 years. Mm. He's deployed to Afghanistan, and we're now stationed at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, which is right on the Kentucky-Tennessee border, about an hour outside of Nashville.
Okay, so you live in Fort Campbell, but he's in Afghanistan.
No, sir. He has been deployed in the past. He is actually home now and doing what most good Army officers do when they're not in the field training.
What's that?
Which is paperwork.
Oh. All right. Good. Well, you've got to be thrilled that he's here, and he's, I'm assuming, he's healthy. And
absolutely.
And he can be daddy to your, tell me about your children.
Well, I have a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, both boys, and they do love their dad. My 3-year-old in particular is a huge fan. And so, yeah, he is a great dad, and they can go do, you know, little boy army stuff with their daddy soldier, and they are very glad that he's home too. You're absolutely right.
How about that? Now, do they remember Veterans Days, November 11th, when dad was overseas?
No, they do not, because the last time that he was gone actually was when my oldest son was an infant. He came back Christmas Eve of that year, and he has been gone for some long trainings since then, some long absences since then, but they have never been over this time of year.
Yeah.
So he missed my youngest son's birth, but he was home about 5 weeks later.
Yeah, yeah. And when the husband is away, do you get the Skype video call? Is that pretty standard these days?
Yeah, it is standard. Now, during our deployment, they were in an area of Afghanistan where there were not a lot of comms, and that does still happen. People deploy to different parts of Afghanistan where things are still without without communication. But most of the time now, that is true. They do get in contact with the service member through Skype.
Yeah. Okay. Now, when the rest of us celebrate Veterans Day, and I'll say for a lot of people, the true meaning is lost, it seems. And it's just a day off and a reason to party. What message do you have? What would you prefer people contemplate on November 11th?
Well, you know, November 11th is really one of two holidays we have every year to celebrate our service members, right? So in the beginning of summer, we have Memorial Day, where we think about the service members who we have lost in war, and we honor those who have died. Veterans Day, on the other hand, is a day to honor and remember the people who are still with us and who have served and are currently serving downrange. So, you know, the best way I think to honor veterans on Veterans Day is to just ask them about their stories, you know, thank a veteran. If you see a veteran, and that might be at a parade in your hometown, or perhaps, you know, many veterans from the Korea and Vietnam era wear hats that distinguish them, that say, you know, veteran on them, real easy to spot, right?
Yeah.
Just say, stop and say thank you for your service. You know, a lot of those folks feel really forgotten. They didn't get the thank yous and the welcome homes that we feel are common right now when they came home. And so I feel like we as a society still have a lot of catching up to do with thanking those guys for their service. And so I can't imagine at any time that, you know, a simple thank you is unwelcome.
Do you think we should carve off a little bit of the day, or perhaps another day of the year, and consider the sacrifice that Army wives and the family that stays behind at the base while the husband or the wife, for that matter, goes off and fights America's wars?
Well, you know, we do have a Military Spouse Appreciation Day, which is in May. Mm. But so we, you know, I don't think a lot of civilian folks know about that. So sometimes it feels like we're just thanking ourselves.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like military families really think of themselves as part of a unit. Military spouses don't really want to be singled out per se. We most of us think that we do serve in our own ways, but it pales in comparison to what our service member does when he or she deploys and puts themselves in harm's way, whether that is physically or mentally, right? So we don't really want that sort of set aside distinguishment, because we don't usually think about what we do as being, you know, particularly extraordinary.
Well,
heroic.
You are wrong, young lady. I think everybody listening to my voice will agree with me that what you are doing is, if not equal to the sacrifice your husband is making, it's somewhere close. And so we appreciate that you're there supporting, like you say, as a team, as a single unit, serving this country. And we appreciate what you do as well. Take me through a typical Veterans Day for your family.
Well, a typical Veterans Day for our family looks like my kids off school, right? Because the local school here is closed on Veterans Day. So gets a little bit of a later start. We will probably spend some time in the morning talking to our sons about what Veterans Day means, talking a little bit about you know, the past wars and what a veteran is. And that, of course, is going to change as they get older. We can go into a little bit more detail. This year, like I mentioned, we're going to be volunteering at an event. So we'll be going to the event site. We'll be setting up. We'll be putting some flags in. And then we'll be welcoming veterans to this event where we'll be thanking them for their service. A lot of these people who are coming to this event are people my kids see all the time. And so hopefully we can communicate to them, you know, the difference, the reason that we're stopping to thank these people today and maybe send home, hey, these guys are not just our friends, they're veterans, and they've done something extraordinary for our country and for us by serving.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that's pretty typical. Of course, like I said, it changes a little bit every year. They're so young still. So some of these concepts are still hitting home. But, you know, my three-year-old this year on September 11th, he asked why the flag was at half-mast. And so we explained to him in as simplest terms as possible about the bad guys and how they attacked and how daddy had to go fight them. And that is something he still brings up every single time we pass a flag.
How about that?
He points out the fact that it is all the way up, and once it was down, and that's when we thought about the bad guys. And I mean, it's kind of adorable, but it's also kind of an emotional thing to hear him say.
Yeah.
That he knows that in as you know his three-year-old little boy terms, and that's something that we are able to communicate with him
age appropriate,
the best way we know how.
Age appropriate, but still heartfelt and insightful, and it's
absolutely
it's something. Well, please. Pass along our sincere thanks to your husband, and please understand that we appreciate everything that you do as a military spouse, and it's been a pleasure and an honor to speak with you.
Well, thanks so much for having me, and I will do that.
All right. That's Amy Buschatz. Again, she writes for military.com, and also she's the managing editor of spousebuzz.com, so go check those out and look for her name on the byline. Now, when people adopt dogs, to change the subject again abruptly, they go right for the puppies, don't they, Chris?
Usually.
Yeah. And or younger dogs, right? But what about senior dogs? A bunch of them, believe it or not, need adopting too. And reasons to adopt a senior dog with Dr. Judy Morgan will be our topic and our guest next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Studies have found that young people say the word more than older people, obviously. And men use filler words 38% more than women do, but there are actually things you can do to train yourself to stop.
I'm listening.
Here are a few tricks. Keep your hands out of your pockets. Several studies have found that you use words like a lot more when your hands are in your pockets for some reason.
And you're looking down and kicking rocks?
Yeah, right. Get in the habit of pausing between sentences. A lot of people use filler words because they feel like once they start talking, they have to keep talking. But pausing between sentences can actually add more gravity to what you're saying.
Good advice.
People listen more carefully to find out, what's he going to say next?
Mm-hmm.
And then they lose interest. Know what you're going to say before you say it, which isn't always possible unless you're giving a presentation at work or something. In that case, practice it as much as you can. And in general, think about what you're saying before you say it.
Yeah.
Right?
So it's a focus thing.
Yeah. Stop and count to 10 sometimes before you start blathering.
Well, if you stop and count to 10 in the middle of a conversation, I'm walking away.
Keep making eye contact. You don't use as many filler words when you do because it keeps you from being distracted. You know, and you connect with your audience when you do that as well.
When you make contact? What?
You know, when you make eye contact. If you
Oh, your audience, you're talking about a live audience. People actually in front of you, because I'm thinking radio audience.
Well,
it's a little tough to make eye
contact. Yeah, but one-to-one, one-to-two, whatever it is. Even if you're talking to a whole audience, you walk around and look at various people.
Yeah.
Even if the audience is in the dark and you're in a spotlight, then you look down there and pretend like you're looking in their eyes. And if you're on the phone, don't multitask. Focus on the conversation.
All right.
All right. There you go. Now, November, this month, is Adopt a Senior Pet Month. And joining us live to talk about it is the host of the Holistic Vets podcast. She's the CEO of Monkey's House. That's a hospice and senior sanctuary for sick and disabled senior dogs with no home. Dr. Judy Morgan, welcome back to the program.
Hi, thanks for the invitation.
Oh, always great to have you here. Now, this Monkey's House deal, I didn't know about that last time we talked. Is that a new thing for you?
It's fairly new. It actually got underway last February, but didn't really grow legs until about June. And now we're really underway. We're up to about 20 dogs.
I love when the holistic vet talks about growing legs. Now, we're not doing that in science yet, are we?
Not that I know of.
Now, you don't think about senior dogs when you set out to adopt a dog, do you?
Most people do not. And sadly, they get overlooked. And so that leaves, you know, a lot of them languishing in shelters with, you know, nowhere to go. And it's not a really good way to end their lives.
How'd they get there in the first place?
Well, you know, the bad news is that senior people commonly have senior pets, and when something happens to that senior person, whether they go into assisted living or nursing care or, you know, downsize and they can't take the pet with them, sometimes family members can't step up, won't step up, and the pets are left homeless.
Oh, that's terrible. All right, so let's talk about the benefits of adopting a senior dog. Clearly, you don't have to house train them.
Right. That's a big benefit 99% of the time. There's a few that come in that aren't, but really that's a huge benefit. And most of them have good manners, you know, and they're more sedate. So if you don't have a bunch of young children running around and you don't need a dog that's going to entertain them and race around the yard and you just want somebody who's going to be a lap buddy or to lay by the fireplace, they're perfect.
But they're losing their hair and they probably can't control their bowels as carefully as the younger dogs can. And so, you know, you've got some other issues and perhaps potentially big veterinary bills? I don't know.
It depends. You know, some of these guys come in and they really don't have big problems and big bills, but there are others that do, and that's really where Monkey's House comes in, because when we take in dogs, we take in the worst of the worst with the biggest vet problems that nobody else is going to adopt.
Wow.
And there are a lot of senior sanctuaries out there that do exactly that, because we know that they're going to be really difficult to place. But there are private homes out there where people have, you know, a little bit of extra money and they're willing to do the care that's needed. And so, you know, for those people that can do that, I applaud them, and the pets applaud them.
Right, right. Is there a website for Monkey's House?
You know, there is, and I think it's just monkeyshouse.org.
Oh, .org, okay.
Yeah, I'm not in charge of that, but they do have a Facebook page that's Monkey's House.
That's easy to find. All right, just remember the .org as opposed to the .com, because that's something else, and I wish I didn't go there now that I have. I can't unsee.
It might be something else.
I can't unsee that now. Now, take us through the adoption process, will you? Where do you go? What kind of hoops do you have to jump through to qualify to take a dog home? I mean, generally speaking, as opposed to how you handle things there at Monkey's House.
So actually, at Monkey's House, we don't adopt them out. We look for foster families occasionally, you know, but we're still responsible for their vet bills. So that's a really great deal if you want to be a foster parent. And there are a lot of breed rescues that have senior dogs where they maintain control of the pet's care, but the pet lives with you. So if you are willing and can take in a senior pet, just apply at any breed rescue. For instance, I work with Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, and so Lucky Star Cavalier Rescue, Cavalier Rescue USA. You can apply just to be a foster parent, and some of these are permanent fosters. So you keep the pet, but they still keep paying the vet bills. So that's kind of a good deal for people who maybe don't have as much money, but they really would like to give a home for those final years.
That's a great arrangement. I don't think a lot of people knew that was – Chris, did you know that was available?
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah, I mean, I didn't know it specifically, but it sounds like something very –
That sounds like a great deal because,
great
frankly,
deal.
You know, as cute as puppies are – It's a great deal of your life that you have to commit to get those puppies on the straight and narrow by the time they're 1 year old.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. And you have all the vet bills associated with, you know, the spay and neuter, going through all the puppy vaccines and, you know, all the things that you have to do with puppies, you know, if you take them to training classes. So you're not going to have that. You may have some other things on the other end of life. And, you know, there are a lot of different levels of care for these guys. You know, I'm one of those crazy people. I go over the top, but that doesn't mean everybody has to.
Now for these foster relationships, mm-hmm. What kind of hoops do you go through for this? Because I know a lot of times when you go to a shelter and you want to just take a puppy home that found its way into the shelter for whatever reason, they send you through a long interview process. And I mean, it's short of an anal probe, frankly.
For some shelters, it is. And I will tell you, the rescues that are down south, they're just so happy to get dogs out of there that there's a lot less hoops to jump through down there.
Okay.
For, you know, up north and where people... You know, where there aren't as many dogs that, you know, that need homes, you don't have to jump through as many hoops. But, you know, there's usually a process where you have to, you know, some of them require a home visit where they come and see, you know, what kind of space you have available for the dogs and to see if it's safe. When I first wanted to foster, they came and did a home visit for me, and I thought, well, boy, I'm a veterinarian and I live in a nice neighborhood. Why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I told them I had a fence yard, and they said, well, the reason we did is because at the time I had a Doberman.
Oh.
And I was applying to get a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel as my first one. And they said, we just wanted to make sure your Doberman wasn't going to eat them, and my Doberman was a big marshmallow. So, you know, it kind of depends what you put on the application and what thing might, you know, spark something that they kind of go, ooh, you know, let me check into that.
Right.
So every group is different, and if you can't get into one group, just find another, because there's one for everybody.
Really. I bet you're right. Okay, good. And the podcast is called Holistic Vets Podcast. The host is Dr. Judy Morgan. She's the voice you're listening to, and it's always great to have you on the program. We have a link to your website on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. Dr. Morgan, thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
There she goes. That arrangement where you just bring in as a foster family one of the dogs and they pay all the bills for you, that's a great deal.
Sure. Yeah, whoever came up with that, it's a real smart plan.
Yeah, and now the whole senior dog concept seems to make a little bit more sense.
I like the idea of a senior dog because of the first point she made, which is that senior dogs, well, besides being potty trained, which was the first point she made, the second point was that senior dogs tend to have gotten all of the excess energy out of their system.
Yeah.
They've ran through enough fields, chased enough balls,
they're
chewed
mellow.
On enough toys. They're very mellow. I like that idea.
Yeah. And they'll like your cat.
They're chill.
That's right. Hey, that's it for hour one of the program. There's so much more to come, including if you were to buy a particular brand of marijuana, assuming it's legal in your state, which celebrity name absolutely needs to be on the package to ensure freshness and quality? Did you say... No, wait, I'm not going to give it away just yet. That's coming up in the next hour. Plus, the definitive answer, is a hot dog a sandwich or not a sandwich? Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Next!
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. Some of the stories we have for you this hour, huge waves in Hawaii, and rather than heading to the hills, some brave surfers are going out. Plus, what's the most attractive facial hair for guys? I meant for guys, all right? And the five signs a charity is a scam. We have a whole lot more to tell you as well this hour. Hi, Phil Hewlett here, and Chris Martin is with us as well. And Chris, we'll get the hour rolling.
All right.
Everybody's a buzz about the new Star Wars movie, huh?
Yes, sir.
And people cannot wait. People are dying to see it.
It's going to be a very big movie. There's a lot of buzz around it. And last week, a guy by the name of Daniel Fleetwood was given a private screening of the unedited version of the latest Star Wars film with Disney and J.J. Abrams' approval, of course. Why?
Why?
Daniel was dying from a rare cancer known as spindle cell sarcoma, and he didn't have much longer to live.
Oh.
Now, when
this
we
is
say,
like a make-a-wish thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a man's dying wish.
Hmm.
And today, only 5 days after seeing the movie, the 32-year-old died peacefully in his sleep.
Wow.
So, while at the time that he made the request, there was a lot of controversy about, well, how serious is this? Is this something that we should do? There, of course, there's debate before they just release mm-hmm. a screening of this.
Yeah.
We see that it was very sincere
sure.
and very serious, the situation that the person was
somehow
in.
They were able to make this arrangement. Seems like some of the ivory walls that these guys live behind, the guys at the movie studios, it's difficult to get your information to them somehow. But this is it's fine. It's a great press release for the movie. But just the same, it's a great thing that they've done to grant this man's dying wish. I'm sure they implored him and his family to stay off of social media about the movie, right?
Right. Well, speaking of social media, that's how this campaign got the momentum that it did, and that Disney and J.J. Abrams and the group surrounding Star Wars
mm-hmm.
were tuned on to it because of the fact of social media. They started this hashtag Force for Daniel campaign. It went viral last week. Thousands of people rallied to help the cause.
Like the Force be with you.
Like the Force be with you. Force for Daniel was the hashtag.
Huh.
And then he ended up getting the screening. His wife released a statement today saying he is now one with God and with the Force.
How about that?
See?
Yeah. Wielding his lightsaber.
She knows, by the way, I'm sure. I don't know if she got to watch it with him. I would hope that his wife got to watch the movie with him.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to have told somebody, right, what he saw?
Yeah.
And to share that a little bit.
There are security guards outside the house where she lives now, making sure that nobody gets any information about
right.
the movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Nobody comes in or out until the release.
Yeah. Like the rumors about Princess Leia and who was it? There's a character in the new one, and it's Princess Leia's kid.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe. That's a rumor. It's a big maybe.
Sounds like a conspiracy theory.
Yeah. It's Jabba the Hutt's kid.
Oh, is that right? It's going to be a weird-looking kid.
They did it, right? Did
no.
they?
She was, that's your conspiracy theory.
She was his
theory.
Sex slave in that Princess Leia slave bikini that Disney retired last week.
I don't think so, Phil.
You don't think so?
No.
All right.
I've seen Jabba the Hutt. Is it that? He can't.
We don't know how or what he uses.
No, we don't.
No, he's we not don't. One of us. He's a different. He's a Hutt.
Yeah. Well, he looks like a frog. Looks like a frog and a caterpillar, overgrown, overweight.
Yeah.
Mutated.
Who knows
what he is?
What horrors Princess Leia had to endure with that guy?
Yeah. Didn't she kiss her brother?
I believe that happened too.
See?
She didn't know it was
that's
the
no
brother.
Conspiracy theory either.
All kinds of weird things going on with Princess Leia. I'm surprised she has her act together.
Mm, that's questionable.
If you're in a state if you're in a state where they sell recreational marijuana, the brand names are going to start popping up all over the place, and sooner or later there're going to be some big names on the wrapper when you buy your product
mm-hmm.
and take it home and take part.
That's right.
In the sacrament, as some people would say. So are there any big names attached to the products in various states yet, or are there any big names we should know about to look for on the horizon in the event they start selling it in a state where we live?
There are, and this might be the biggest. Not since George Foreman joined forces with a meat grill has there been a more perfect union. Snoop Dogg has announced the launch of his own line of marijuana products on sale now at several Colorado dispensaries.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
Leafs.
Leafs. Of course it is Leafs.
Leafs by Snoop will include edible foods infused with cannabis extracts as well as hand-weighed marijuana flowers and concentrates.
I was going to say that the grammar isn't necessarily accurate there because plural of leaf would be leaves. However, I do know that Snoop Dogg is a fan of hockey, and there is a team called the Maple Leafs.
Huh?
They're not the Maple Leaves. They're the Maple Leafs, and he's a hockey fan. So maybe there's a connection there somewhere.
Could be. Could be. It also could be bad grammar.
Yeah, it could be that, too.
That's possible.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And reeling back, nobody caught the fact that I said that his name would be on the wrapper.
Oh, I caught that at the time, yeah.
Did
but
you?
I wanted to get my George Foreman analogy.
That was
there.
Awesome, by the way.
Yes.
Nice to know that you spent some time preparing.
The rapper, by the way, has always been open about his love of weed and says, "It's a true blessing that I can share the products I love so much with y'all."
Yeah. In his lifetime, he got to see this happen. So
seems a little bit late, though, doesn't it? I mean, he's been associated with marijuana for so long, you'd think that he would have gotten in the game a while ago.
Yeah, but still, he's going to fly to some country where it's illegal and he'll get arrested.
Yeah, well, and he's already had trouble with the law in the past because of it.
Happened plenty of times.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
him and Willie. Willie Nelson, I think he has one as well.
Sure. Oh, he has his brand. Two. Yes, I think we...
Has a brand, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of music, an electronic music duo called Matmos, M-A-T-M-O-S, Matmos, has recorded an album composed entirely of sounds made on a Whirlpool Ultimate Care 2 washing machine. They pounded on the machine like a drum and also sampled all the bells, whistles, and alarms that the machine makes. The album is 38 minutes long, which is the length of one wash cycle.
I don't think I want to hear that.
No? You wouldn't buy
it? I don't. It doesn't sound... Drummers can take anything and make sounds with it. Why does it have to be a washing machine? Why does that make it special?
Think about when the drum is turning. It makes that whoosh, 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 whoosh. That could be your drum beat, right? Mm-hmm. It sounds like... you know, electronic dance music a little bit.
Then the buzzer that tells you your laundry's done, you mix that sound in there with it.
And then
it.
You turn the knob to get to the cycle that you want. It makes that noise, right?
When you pull out the lint trap and clean out the lint.
Oh, yeah.
That makes a noise.
Rub your fingernails on there. You could do all sorts of things with a washing machine if you think about it.
All right.
Open and shut the door. Stick your head inside and yell.
Right. Crawl inside and go for a ride.
Yeah.
Wonder what that would sound like.
Plug it in while standing in a pool of water.
There you go.
Ever been looking at your phone in bed and accidentally drop it on your face?
No, you know, I haven't. But that seems completely possible.
According to a new survey, 60% of us have dropped our phone on our face while using it lying down. And 13% of people have walked into something like a pole or a wall because they were staring down at their phone.
Yeah.
Of course, we also have plenty of dumb injuries that are not caused by our phones. 35% of us have tripped over a pet. 28% have accidentally hammered fingers instead of a nail. I would think that number would be higher as you hone your hammering skills.
Well, you said, what was it, 28?
28%. You're in construction. I mean, how many times have you probably use those pneumatic hammers now, but when you hold a regular hammer and you just hack away... at a nail? You've hit your finger or your thumb, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Several times. To the point where I've lost a fingernail. But 28% seems almost a little bit high to me because...
Most people don't hammer
most
nails.
Most people don't hammer nails. Yes.
Right.
Or have any reason to hammer nails.
27% have walked into a glass door.
Yeah.
I know that's true because at our house, almost always somebody walks into at least the sliding door, the screen part of it, and often the glass door. So we have to put... a party tape on the back door, the sliding door, so people don't walk into it. It's usually the kids, but every now and then it's a grown-up, and then the damage occurs. 16% of us have fallen off a treadmill or an exercise ball.
Hmm.
I think if I were to choose the two, I'd rather fall off of an exercise ball.
Absolutely.
And this sounds dangerous and potentially fatal. 15% have tripped on an escalator.
Yeah, that does sound dangerous.
That thing will chew you up, won't it?
I've seen the videos of escalators actually just pulling the dresses right off of women as well, or pants right off of guys.
And
if you
mom,
get down to the
Dad,
bottom and you have some clothing hanging
if
down.
If you have your kids in tow at the department store where they have the escalator, double check. If the kid doesn't have the Velcro shoes on and the laces are untied, that shoelace could get stuck there, and the next thing you know, your kid is ankle deep in metal, and it's going to keep chewing until they hit the stop button. If you're lucky, the shoe comes off and the kid gets his foot out of there before it goes. But the shoelace is the first thing to go, and then the rest happens. So
right, but if it catches the shoelaces, then it's instantly going to pull tight the shoe around the foot.
So the shoe's not going to come off.
No. That sounds dangerous also.
Escalators, one of the most convenient and dangerous inventions ever.
Who knew?
Can we say that? It's probably the truth, right?
By the way, 28% of people are injured while canoeing down escalators in the mall. And I happen to be one of those.
You've done that? Were injured? Good?
Mm-hmm.
Got a scar to prove it?
I do. Yep.
Where is it?
I can't show it to you because it's below my belt line. It was a weird incident.
Good story,
really
though.
Really weird. Yeah.
Good story. Mm. Want to see my escalator canoe injury scar?
Yeah. Yeah.
But you use that line, don't you?
60% of the time it works every time.
Right. Up next, here's a tough question. If you're a professional football player and you're raking in the bucks, but you've been beaten up a lot around the head and shoulders and you've got multiple concussions, and it's your decision to play or not to play and to keep earning that money or to retire, and what's the call? What do you do? This decision has been made by a player that you probably know, and we're going to talk about him and what he's decided to do and whether you agree or disagree with him next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a website, just add .com to the name of the show, and you're there. Poke around a little bit. Subscribe when you get there as well, so that you never miss anything that we're up to over here. And share us a little bit, will you, on social media? Go find us on Facebook or Twitter and tell people about us. You're part of the Army who help serve and spread the word that Phil Hewlett and Friends is actually kind of a good show.
Mm-hmm.
That's the headline, right? Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Actually kind of a good show.
Yeah. Here's an example of why it's good. There are two types of men in the world, guys with man buns and guys who make fun of guys with man buns. You know what man buns are?
I'm going to assume nice butt?
No, you pull the hair up in the back of your head and you put a little bun there.
Oh, like that?
Yeah, it's like a hipster thing, isn't it? It's become more than hipster now. It's like grown men are doing that. Mm-hmm. And I think I may be in the third category. I would just never do that.
Right.
But apparently there is a third group, men without a man bun who secretly wish they had one but don't have the long flowy hair to pull it off.
Okay.
So if you're one of those guys, rejoice, because now there is something that you can buy. A clip-on man bun.
A wig?
Groupon, it's something like that, yeah. It's a bun of hair that you pick with your same hair color, and Groupon is selling it for the extraordinary, reasonable price of just $9.99.
Is that $9.99 or $999?
$9.99 will get you one of three colors, blonde, brown, or black, so sorry, gingers. You attach them to your hair using a bobby pin, just like the ladies do.
I don't get it.
And they look pretty similar to fake hair buns that they sell for women. In fact, they might just be the same product in different packaging, frankly. But if you're the kind of guy who's even thinking about this, that probably won't stop you.
By the way, I don't really see that many man buns out there.
Oh, you're just not getting out there.
Seems like a pretty small segment of society. I mean, other than that linebacker for the Packers.
Yeah. He wears one under his helmet?
No, he has long flowing hair and he can swirl it up into a man bun on his off days. And he's always taking his helmet off, dousing it with water, and flipping his hair back like Ariel from The Little Mermaid.
Yeah, all right, that's a good image.
Pretty wild.
While we're talking football, concussions are a big deal these days.
They are?
There are lawsuits. There's concern that the sport may just be destroying the lives of so many players because their heads get beaten about quite a bit, even though they have helmets on. The helmet and all the pads may cause them to get their head struck about even harder than they would had they not been wearing pads. All the rugby guys say, hey, we don't wear helmets and we're fine. We don't get a whole lot of concussions. I don't know. This concussion argument is difficult, especially when you have a finite number of years that you can earn mega bucks playing professional football.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a hard decision for these guys. Do I sit or do I go back out there and risk permanent brain damage?
Yes, and this is a subject that is becoming talked about more and more. There's a movie coming out, actually, with Will Smith. Actually, it's called Concussion is the name of the movie.
Sure.
And here's a story that we can all at least contemplate and see what we would do. Wes Welker, who's a successful 34-year-old wide receiver, has decided to come back into the NFL despite a well-documented history of concussions. He has at least 6 diagnosed concussions, including 3 in a 9-month span.
Ooh.
And they say that it could be as many as 10 or 12 concussions in his career. Although, just this week, he signed a 1-year deal with the St. Louis Rams and is coming back into the league.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, you know, hey, is this some of the people around him and some of the people in sports media are saying this is not a good idea, although some people get several concussions and live long, healthy lives. Some people get 1 or 2 and end up brain damaged.
Has he made some bank, a lot of money playing football?
He's made $40 million in
his
career.
Did you say that already and I missed it?
No.
No, okay. $40 million.
$40 million.
And that's not enough, apparently.
It's not the money that's drawing him back into football. He's 34 years old, and he has a love of the game,
a
love of the sport. Whether it's winning or whether it's just the camaraderie of being around teammates during a heated playoff run, or having a purpose, getting up and going to work every day. I mean, at 34 years old to be retired, that has to be pretty rough.
He has a family.
Also, I believe so.
So on his 37th birthday, he'll be getting up in the morning and somebody else will have to wash him.
It's possible because head trauma, especially in the NFL, has been linked to chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which can lead to depression, dementia, and even suicide, and other issues, just not even being able to remember your phone number.
And certainly you would not be able to say encephalopathy.
Encephalopathy.
You put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Maybe. I don't know. It's something to consider, though. I personally couldn't imagine putting myself in a position to continue to damage my brain that way because
it's a fait accompli that he's already had so many concussions that it's probably he's a goner. And so why not play and win while he can?
He signed with the St. Louis Rams, Phil.
Oh.
Yeah. They're 4-4.
The Carson Rams?
Third in their division.
The Carson Rams. The
Los Angeles
the Inglewood Rams.
Mm-hmm.
the Walnut Rams. No, the City of Industry Rams. It would be Los Angeles regardless.
It's all good. You never want to take away a person's purpose, and we all need something to do and something that fulfills us, and football is his thing.
Well, I hope he's put away some of that money for his family, then.
I'm pretty sure he's done that.
They're going to need it to take care of him.
I don't think he's burned all $40 million.
What do you think about this whole Movember thing? Where
it's cool.
Where guys grow their facial hair.
I'm a fan.
It's to raise money and awareness for men's health issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
But see, here's the thing: they're already tons of guys with Civil War beards and porn star mustaches, right? It just seems to be popular all of a sudden. So in the month of November, guys grow the facial hair, and women walk around with plastic mustaches just to show support.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that too. But if you are growing facial hair this month, whatever you're supposedly doing it for, listen up, because here are the results of a survey from Match.com about how your new look is going to play with the ladies. 73% of women say they find facial hair attractive. But it seems most of them mean beards, because 25% of them say they date someone with mustaches versus 73% like facial hair. So there you go. Disparity there.
That's a big discrepancy, yeah.
Women say the best kind of facial hair is just some stubble, though that might be uncomfortable in certain situations. For mustaches, the most attractive kind of is a nice, normal, thin one. Goatees are second. Worst kinds are full handlebar mustaches and the crazy old wizard look where you rock a long beard. And 4% of women say those are attractive.
4%, yeah. You're not going to do real good with averages on that one.
But they're fans of wizards, those women, those 4%.
Mm-hmm. That's where Merlin just owns.
That's right, he owns. Coming up, we're talking big waves in Hawaii. You won't be riding them, but you might want to plan a trip to watch other people do so. Our travel guy knows a thing or two about this. Cowabunga, next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends, and thanks for coming back, and we're back, and talking big waves and amazing surfers in Hawaii. And this is the time, right? You don't go to Hawaii in the summertime to and expect to see all the big surfing competitions. You don't. So joining us now to talk about this and about whether you should take a trip to Hawaii during the winter to see the big surf and the people who ride the big waves for big money, it's our travel guy, Gary Warner. Hey, Gary, is the surf up?
Hey, Phil, the surf is up. There's a big wave advisory right now for the North Shore of Oahu. So at least the winter season's starting out big. We'll have to see how it does through the run of the Triple Crown of Surfing, which is what we're here to talk about.
You know, it's interesting, too, when you're here on the mainland, you think, all right, summertime, I'm going to head out to Hawaii. But the truth is, the surfers crave this time of year.
That's right. This is the time of year. Basically, the surf goes around each of the islands during the year. So if you come in the summer, that's when, say you're on Oahu, that's when you're going to have the biggest waves, although they're not that big, in along Waikiki. It's a great time to go out on those canoe rides and stuff like that. But it's like a lake up in the North Shore. But come wintertime, these big storms roll in from Alaska, and they get some of the biggest surf in the world up there, and it's just fantastic.
Are all of the big competitions, are they all open competitions, or do they have some kind of a league?
They have a league, and it's changed names since, I think, this year. It's now called the World Surf League. It used to be the Association of Surfing Professionals. They're sort of the organizational body. They find sponsors and things like that. Yeah. You win points towards a year-end dollar amount and a ranking. And then there's also, in Hawaii right now, with the Triple Crown, you get additional money for these three contests. If you win all three contests or you get the most points, you get money on top of that. So right. it's a big cash time.
Okay, well, none of us are qualified to enter any of these contests, but we might want to be spectators. So take us through two or three of these. Where would we start?
Sure. Well, there's three of them. The first one is probably the least popular. It's the Reef Hawaiian Pro at Haleiwa, and that's in a break that's right near the main town on the North Shore, Haleiwa. And it runs from November 12th to the 23rd, so it's starting this week. And after that is the Vans World Cup at Sunset Beach. Now, Sunset Beach has huge waves. The problem there is that the break is so far offshore that you really need to bring your binoculars to see anything that's going on. They always have big stands where people can hear the announcers, and they also have like TVs now where you can get close-ups. But that's a hard one to watch. So the best one by far, December 8th to the 20th, Billabong Pipe Masters at Banzai Pipeline.
Oh, Pipeline. That's about as picturesque as you can get, and not only on the surf, but some of the people that are hanging out on the sand, too.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is that the break at Pipeline is so close that you can see these guys' faces as the wall comes in. And it is a pipe. It's a rolling wave that they have to ride very differently than pretty much any wave out there. There's a coral reef underneath, so you can get slammed into that. And all around the beach are all these houses that are now owned by all the different surf companies. So they have, you know, they're all the girls hanging out and the pro surfers hanging out, and there's parties at night. You have to get invitations and stuff like that because there's big burly guys at the door. But it's a scene. It's a great scene. And if you were going to do one, I would say go to the Billabong Pipe Masters.
I have to wonder then, if you are a visitor, is it really are they welcoming to the outsiders, those surfers and the whole club? Because it really is a clique down there at the beach, isn't it?
Very much so. No, I think they're very welcoming. I mean, Kelly Slater, who is probably the Babe Ruth or Arnold Palmer of surfing, he's still surfing these days. You know, he goes into the water and then he comes out of the water. And when he comes out of the water, people can walk up and shake his hand and talk with him. And the guys who are on like the next tier down are really open to talking to people. And you'll run into them at the restaurants or at the bakery or, you know, a lot of different places. So I've always found them, even when I wasn't there as a journalist, very welcome.
You know, not far from there is Waimea Bay. Isn't there anything going on there?
Well, Waimea Bay used to be part of the Triple Crown, but it's not anymore. But there is a huge contest, probably the premier contest in surfing in the world, I think. And that is the Quicksilver in Memory of Eddie Acau Big Wave Contest. Now, the way this starts out is that on December 1st, all of the surfers who are invited, and it's a special list, includes some of the top guys who are on the tour, but also some big wave surfers who aren't on the tour. A guy like Greg Long out of Orange County, who's the last guy to have won the contest. They create a circle out in the water, and they hold hands, and they remember Eddie Acau. We'll talk about Eddie in a minute. And then they all go home. And what happens is that there's a couple of guys who look at the surf coming in, and if it gets to the point that they're going to have waves that have 30-foot faces in Waimea Bay, that's just massive surf, they'll call the contest. Everybody has about 48 hours to fly in, and then the contest goes off. This contest was started in 1984, and it's only been run 8 times.
Because they have to have the surf big enough, right?
Yes, and the window goes from December 1st to the end of February, February 28th.
Well, that gives you plenty of time to get a nice big storm in, doesn't it?
Right. But a lot of times, if it's 20 feet, they're just not going to do that. So it's really an amazing experience. I've been lucky enough to see it twice, in 2001 when Kelly Slater won, and then in 2009 when Greg Long won. It's a great experience. It's really hard to time getting over there. And once the contest does go off, the highways are just choked.
Tell us about Eddie Acau.
Drag racing. Eddie Acau is one of the first Native Hawaiian lifeguards that was ever hired in Oahu. And you would think that in the mid 70s there would have already been guys, but there wasn't. He was up in the North Shore. He got involved along with surfing in traditional Hawaiian canoes, which they believe that's where, you know, the Polynesians came down to Hawaii. And he was on one that was out in, I think it was the Molokai Channel, 1978. He's 31 years old. It breaks down. The mast breaks, and they're starting just to float out to sea. And they're really getting worried that they're all going to die. So Eddie takes the surfboard, and he sees the lights in Molokai, and he is going to take this board, and he's going to you know, paddle his way all the way to Molokai. So that's where you get that Eddie would go idea. This, you know, he really showed the bravery and the love of his fellow crew members, and he went out and tried to save their lives. Now, the irony, unfortunately, is that Eddie died. Evidently, his body was never found, and the Coast Guard the next day was able to come out and get the boat, and the folks survived. He's always been like a hero. You go to Waimea Bay, there's a statue of him, and when they have the contest, it fills up with flowers and leis and the whole bit. He's really a big hero. In between all the contests, there are events at restaurants, events down at the Turtle Bay Hotel, talk story nights, concerts, you know, bathing suit contests, the whole bit. So you can go basically anytime from this week until just before Christmas time, and there'll be something going on up on the North Shore, even if they're not surfing.
All right, dude. Thanks a lot. Great to talk to you. Yeah, we'll talk to you next week. Gary Warner, our travel guy. Got to get to Hawaii soon. Okay. It just got to get there.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We do the show from Hawaii, Mike Stark, executive producer. Can we make that happen?
You get the tickets in the room and board, I'll be there.
Yeah. All right.
And I think you know what I mean by board.
Exactly. New study says the top five deal breakers in dating are being lazy, disheveled, too needy, and not having a sense of humor, and living more than 3 hours away. Huh. This just scratches the surface. In fact, on our next program, not this one, but the next one, we have an expert on dating, and she will go in depth into, this is my list. She's got her own list of the top deal breakers when it comes to dating and how to get yourself together if you want to keep, you know, keep in circuit, keep in the biz. What do they call that when you're out there in the market? Keep circulating?
You keep in circulation.
Yeah. All right. Hey, tonight's a big night for the guys on the Republican side who want to be president. And there's not only that, but there's another great debate that has to do with something akin to some of the guys who are running for president on the Republican side. It's a question as to whether a hot dog is a sandwich or not. See if you can connect the two concepts there. I weave that together skillfully, but perhaps the jets came out and flew right over your heads. I'm not sure. But that's next, along with a couple other surprises on the last segment of our program. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. All right, it's Phil Hewlett and Friends. We're back. It's the final segment of this here program today. Don't go away because this is where the magic happens, the last segment.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right before the end, that's when we pull out all the stops.
Yeah, if you don't listen to the entire program, then you miss some of the best stuff. It's true.
You ease your way into it in the start. Then you go full bore in the middle, and then at the end you just bring it home.
And I think what happens here is that the air continues to circulate in this room. I don't think that a lot of fresh air from the outside comes in because it would be sea air, and it would get kind of smelly like a seagull's butt. But it we start to get giddy after a while from the restriction of oxygen to the brain. And so by the time we get to the end of the second hour, it gets a little loopy in here.
Yeah.
All right?
Yes.
So speaking of loopy, what's happening tonight on TV?
It's going to be a loopy television show. The first Republican debate since CNBC's version on October 28th will take place tonight on Fox Business Network.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the moderator?
The moderators are Neil Cavuto and Maria Bartiromo, both ex-CNBC employees.
The money honey.
That's right. The channel and its moderators have promised to keep it civil, stick to the issues, and stay away from the gotcha questions. They say, the moderators especially say, their goal is to make themselves invisible.
Questions like, is that the first time you kicked your dog?
Right. There's no way you can answer that question without painting yourself into a corner as a dog beater.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't say yes, can't say no.
Now, which candidate is running on the dog beater platform?
I don't think anyone has championed that platform specifically, but it is going to be fun to watch these guys go at it. Don't forget, you got Ben Carson and Donald Trump leading the way. They're separated by 8% at most.
Sure.
Then, you know, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, Jeb Bush, who's trying to make a turnaround in his image, and that's not working out so well so far, this whole Jeb can fix it thing.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Kasich, Fiorina. There might be some people that take a step aside after this debate, but we'll see. Who knows?
Ben Carson is he's dealing with some interesting stuff right now because the Politico put out an article about him saying that he got a full scholarship to West Point and turned it down. And then all of the news outlets picked up on it and then started asking him questions about it. And he said, mm-hmm. Wait, that's not what happened. And then after he got a whole ration of grief, then the Politico went back and said, oh, sorry, we screwed up. That story wasn't exactly accurate. So we're pulling the story. But then all the other news outlets continued to report
it. It was too late. They had already run with it. And by the way, just another example of semantics in politics, because what he did say was, I was offered a full scholarship to West Point, in which case his claim was somebody came up and said, hey, come to West Point, we'll get you in. And that probably did happen.
But he wanted
very
to be a doctor.
Sincere in repeating that. And he said, I want to be a doctor, and he went somewhere else.
And he had $10 to his name, and that wasn't enough money to apply for West Point, although they probably would have given him a break at the time.
So you have to be careful what you say. Although these candidates in this GOP debate are not known for being careful with how they speak, so
I think that's refreshing, frankly, because if they're talking from their brain and with a percentage of their heart, as opposed to talking about the stuff that was tested on focus groups before they went out there and spoke, I don't want the focus group tested stuff. I want to hear what these guys think. I want to throw a rabid dog in their face and see them react.
Yeah, you want to see their true nature, who they really are.
The commander-in-chief has to be able to think on his feet, not call a bunch of meetings and committees and say, okay, like 6 months later, maybe we'll decide that we're going to put together a blue ribbon panel on this and come up with a decision by 2019.
Which, by the way, not to get too political also, but Chris Christie made a good point about that in saying the media's role in finding presidential candidates is very important because you're supposed to see how the president performs under pressure, and that's what the media does. They're constantly putting these candidates in pressure situations by bringing up their past, their beliefs.
I thought a couple of the candidates did all right in that case and tried to turn things around on the CNBC people.
Right.
So on to a much more important debate, the hot dog. Sandwich or not?
Sandwich or not? That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah, it's
people. It seems like we've been arguing for weeks about this.
I know, and we've had the guy from the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council on the program several times. Seems like we have him on twice a year, a National Hot Dog Month and National Sausage Month. Yeah, and I seem to recall the last time we had him on, he said a hot dog was yes, indeed, a hot dog is a sandwich.
Hmm. Yeah, it's known as the Great Hot Dog Debate, and the National Hot Dog Council has come out with a statement, all right?
Uh-oh.
Now, I'm going to read it to you. First of all, it's the National Hot Dog and Sausage Council.
Yes.
They've actually sent out a press release, and it says the following. Our verdict is, a hot dog is an exclamation of joy, a food, a verb describing one's showing off, and even an emoji. It is truly a category unto its own.
Yeah.
Limiting the hot dog's significance by saying it's just a sandwich is like calling the Dalai Lama just a guy.
Oh. So they're saying it's not a sandwich.
They're saying a hot dog is a category unto its own. Not a sandwich.
I may have mischaracterized their position because that was a heartfelt and well thought out response. And so perhaps I need to go back and listen to the program when the fellow was on and we asked the question because maybe he said that it was not a sandwich back in the day.
I tend to remember it that way as well. I think he was pretty. He stood behind the hot dog as being something pretty special and couldn't be categorized as a sandwich. But I don't know. The whole thing's been a great publicity stunt for hot dogs and sandwiches alike.
Yeah.
Good for them getting their name out there.
Imagine you're right in the middle of a Civil War reenactment and, all the guns are going off. But they're all blanks, right? And then a drunk guy starts firing his gun, but it has real bullets in it.
Mm.
And that happened in Oklahoma this week. Let's put that back in the stack. A couple called 911. The couple was on drugs. They called 911 to report that possums were in their microwave.
Oh, no. Must have been some good drugs.
Yeah. Five signs that a charity is actually a scam. You want to know about that?
Yes.
It's time of year, holidays, when people start asking for money.
I just start jamming ones and change in jars. I need to know what I'm contributing to.
They only offer vague information about what they do and where your money will go. They can't prove your donation will be tax deductible. There are a few types of legit nonprofits where donations are not tax deductible, and you also can't deduct donations to political campaigns. But if that's the case, they should be upfront about it, right?
Yeah.
Their name resembles a well-known organization, but it's slightly different, like Red Cross.
Okay, right. I gotcha.
Let's see. Oh, there actually is. The real one is World Wildlife Fund, you know, WWF. They won the lawsuit against the Wrestling Federation. And,
oh, wow.
That's why it's WWE now. But there's another one called Worldwide Wildlife Fund. So it's World Wildlife Fund is the real one, but Worldwide Wildlife Fund is the scam.
Hmm.
They thank you for making a pledge or a previous donation that you don't remember making. That's a good sign.
Right.
And they push really hard to get you to donate right away, which is a tough one because it seems like half of real charities do that too.
Yeah.
So if you're ever in doubt, you can go to give.org or charitywatch.org or guidestar.org. All the real charities are listed there.
Just about anything .org. Aren't .orgs regulated? Aren't they government-regulated .orgs?
Well, you do have to sign up and get all your proper paperwork in place. And, yeah, sure. So there is some regulation.
There is some regulation. It's a little bit more monitored than just a .com,
but
right?
They're under a lot of pressure to raise funds. And so sometimes unscrupulous people get involved.
Now, what about that Phil's Kids Fund you had me write that check to?
The Phil's Kids Fund?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What's that going to?
Thank you very much for your generous donation. You've made quite a difference in Phil's kids' lives.
There's also the Phil's Vets Fund, which I feel I might be about Corvettes.
Come on, now you're being silly. I am involved in some real charities. The Athletic Sports Fund of America is one of them.
Okay.
And they do some great things, raising money and awareness to try to find a cure for cancer.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm behind it.
Good.
Where do I sign? Where do I put the money?
You want a heartwarming story to end the program?
Sure, we can try.
A couple in St. Petersburg, Florida, named Amy and Justin. They're both 33. They just started dating about a year ago after they met on Match.com. Last month, Amy asked about a scar above Justin's eye. Said he got it in preschool. She realized at that moment it was the same preschool she went to. He'd also joked about before about how he had a huge crush on a girl named Amy when he was a kid. Turns out, it was the same Amy.
Wow.
Justin's mom found an old class photo, and they're sitting right next to each other in preschool. And the teacher says at the time that they were basically inseparable, and now they're planning to get married.
Funny, because you always hear the term high school sweethearts, but you never hear the term preschool sweethearts.
Because that's just weird.
It sure is.
Hey, we love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. Fill out the form. We're on Twitter at Faf Show, P-H-A-F Show. We're on Facebook as well. Thank you for liking us and following us. And leave a voicemail on the website, too. Look for the blue tab. It's free as long as you have a mic on your computer. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Ryan Hayden, who, yes, indeed, is here today. Hooray! For Chris, I'm Phil. Talk to you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.